What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with the episode of Parents Just Don't Understand. Today, we have our most viral guest on the show. Went crazy, and he's rocking the gear now, man. He's ready to come speak at any of the events that you have to encourage anybody from basketball players to executives to just your life in general, Mr. Brian Bartley.
How you doing? Glad to be back, Todd.
Honestly. Yeah. No, man, I appreciate you coming through, and today, we have returning guest, Justice Bartley. You know, you guys could check his episode out. Awesome story, awesome journey of overcoming this life.
It's life.
Overcoming life and moving into a different space, playing at a high level, coaching at a high level, and now into the tech space. Mm-hmm. And so, and first time guest, another Bartley man, the Bartley man,
thank
I should say.
Thank you. Say the best for us.
The best one when it comes to what he does on the court. Former player at Syracuse,
yes, sir.
Mr. Jalen Bartley.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate
welcome
it.
To the show, man. Welcome to Elevate Your Game Studios. Man, make yourselves at home.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate
yeah,
it. I'm appreciate it.
Right now.
Y'all see me with the gold mic? Yeah, I'm gonna just point it out because it just came from one of the other studios. We just had to make this work today.
Yeah, 55.
So man, what parents also just don't understand, our goal is to get the viewpoint of a coach and a dad and the players and the sons, right? And that transition and understanding just that whole relationship as a whole. And you know, you guys had some success with the parenting, right? Right, moms and pops. We're going to talk about pops because he's here. Just the success that you have for getting them to that next level with basketball and both moving into a professional space after, which is probably every parent's goal when we play basketball. So just talk about your journey, you know, let's talk about now. Like, just what you see now from your boys, from, you know, what you saw of them when they were young, you know, how have they developed?
As I was talking a little bit before, I thought what was really great about the opportunity to coach my kids was the simple fact that is to keep a goal in mind. And, you know, most kids are short-sighted sprinters. And the best way to look at it is from a standpoint like cross-country meet. You know, the person who goes into the woods first may not be the one coming out because it's a process. And it's making sure that they endure the process. They're understanding that that your journey is just as important as the destination. You know, what they're going to go through is going to be important and to prepare them for it. And so for me, I thought of letting them understand that they need to embrace the process and how the process is going to help them, because it's going to help them when they get there, when they arrive. And a lot of times people don't understand. People just look at these short-sighted goals and what their kids achieve, but they don't understand what they're going to become. And I want to get a full understanding of what we were. So for us, we just talked about a plan. Because I'm a true believer that a man who fails to plan is planning to fail. You know, you got to have a plan. And we sat down, we talked about a plan for each one of them and what we wanted to do. Each one of them derived to go to a school, to particularly on where they were going to be 5 to 10 years from now. And I remember Justice at Virginia, I told him, hey, listen, if you go to Virginia and you walk across the stage and all they know is that you're a basketball player, you did a poor job. You know, you shouldn't just walk around being a basketball player. You have to have more of an impact on this campus than just being a basketball player. Because the people you're going to meet and the people you're going to come in contact are all going to play a role in what you want to do later on in life. And so to coach them and have them with me and be able to see the blessings later on was huge for me. Because you can sow over here, but your harvest can be somewhere else. And I may not live in a huge home and drive a fancy car, but my blessings came through my kids. Like what they've done and who they are and the man that they become and woman they become, I'm so proud of all of them. You know, my daughter who graduated at 16 and, you know, she just graduated from Georgetown Medical. Like, they all have plans. They've all done a great job. And Deshaun, Kay, they've all had plans of becoming successful long haul. So for us, starting out about 13, and I think I said that in the last episode, we discussed about a goal and where you want to drive to and how to get there. And we sat down and started having goals before Christmas, and then just started checking off every Christmas. And I tell you what was good for me. Well, going to Milwaukee to see Justice in Milwaukee, and I'm staying with him. He's with the Bucks. And I open up the curtain, and on his window, he has all his goals. And I'm just like, wow. God, he's still doing this. It's amazing, you know?
So crazy.
So, you know, that was, but it was cool though. It was cool to see that, you know, and then I know he has goals too with sticky notes and stuff like that. So it was good. It was great for me.
Do you guys remember that meeting at 13? I'll start with you, Jalen. Do you remember setting those goals younger and what that was like, and how much of them were your goals versus your dad's goals?
Yes, I definitely remember them because it was a family meeting of like everybody had like a sheet of paper to like write their stuff down. But I would say like, I wouldn't say it was my dad's. It was kind of like my dad and, you know, his, not his influence, but, you know, his, you know, just his perspective on like, hey, like, this is what I think you could achieve for. And then, you know, left it up to me to like write down what I envisioned that as being. So of course, like when I was a kid, he, you know, saw that I was just athletic from a young age. And so he was always like, he was always mentioning Syracuse for some odd reason. Don't know why. But I just never thought of it. But I just thought of basketball. And then lo and behold, I ended up finding myself there, which was like crazy how like I didn't, again, his perspective of what he saw. And I was just like, yeah, sure. I'm just going to play, write down my goals of like, you know, being a good student, being a, being on time and just making sure, athletically I get stuff done. And then kind of just fell into exactly what God's plan was that I guess my dad had discernment about.
That's awesome. And Justin, same question for you. And also, was there an option to fail? That's what came in my mind as a
I definitely remember like us having those family meetings and us being able to write those things down. Mm-hmm. What I really remember is when we had our one-on-one conversation about how I wanted to take basketball seriously, and that was like a whole other, you know, conversation, a whole other list of things. But the option, I don't even remember us talking about it. It was almost like it was expected. It was like, oh, this is gonna happen, you know? Only now, you know, words of like reverse engineering it, but before it was like, okay, yeah, this is what I'm doing. And yeah, you just start putting everything in place. And what I ended up learning as I continued to do it, as I got older, was there aren't as many failures as it is like pivots, the things that you discover along the way. Mm. And so the small example is, I want to read 5 books this year, you know, and I may not get to 5, but did I learn or pick something up along the way through an experience or something else, you know, that would have covered that, you know? So yeah, like those are some of the things that, you know, picked up, but never thinking about failure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, like you said, it's a pivot. I like that language and that mindset that there, when you're striving for a goal, there's no such thing as failure as long as you keep working towards that goal. Mm-hmm. And when failure is when you stop.
Exactly.
When you give up on anything that you're doing. So it's awesome to see that development or hear about that development, I guess, through that time. Mm-hmm. And Brian, what age does this happen? Because you said, you know, around 13 is when it sounded mm-hmm. like, but he was probably a little younger than, right? Or mm-hmm. those types of things, because a lot of these parents try to take this very, very, very serious in third grade and have the number one ranked third grader. And they need to play in all the tournaments, go to all the camps, get all the accolades, be on everybody's mixtape. And that, I think there's a select few who's at 4. Like, that's why we celebrate LeBron a little bit, right? Because mm-hmm. he's been able to handle that media coverage at such a young age and throughout his career. Mm-hmm. But he's very special in the way yeah. he's been able to navigate that. What would you suggest to most parents? Like, hey, this is when they really need to take it serious. This is when you need to build the foundation to what you're about to set in front of them for them to achieve those goals.
It's funny, you know, my perspective is always different than most. And what people may say is, well, because they're not pros, they're not successful. So my whole accomplishment was the fact that they need to love what they do, because passion equals purpose. If they don't love, and I thought all the way up to 12, they need to try as many sports as possible to find out what they really love, right? And this has to be derived from them, not me. Because there's a mixture of parents that want it, then the kids don't. They're pushing a kid to do something that they don't have passion to do. I left it up to them, and I thought about at 13 is the age where you start to ask them, all right, what do you really want to do? it's middle school, they start to develop because they have undeveloped minds. And so now they can start to come up with a plan to see if this is something like, because as you get older, this thing starts to get serious and start to be more business. And the fun leaves. But in order for you to stay, the fun has to be there. You have to really love what you're doing. And so 13 was the pivot of a year. Let's talk about, all right, do you love, what is it exactly do you love to do? And for my kids, it wasn't always sports because my daughter's not into it. Both of my daughters are not. But, you know, Kayla and Ayanna are into two different things. But the thing about Deshaun, Justice, and Jalen wanted to play. And I wanted to say, okay, let's start. And my oldest was a football guy, and we moved him to a whole new football area in Parkview where football was probably one of the best football places ever. And all right, and how do we sit down and construct this? How do we go with goals each year? And what was important for us to know is that your race is different than the race to the right or left of you. Everybody's race is different. And so you have to stay focused on what you think is on task. One, you can't get there too early because once you hit that ceiling really quickly, then that's it. So just to derive and continue to keep working and stop looking at the rankings and the things beside you. To understand that this is a journey. Like you're going to really embrace it and this is what we're going to do. And we talked about every summer what we need to do, what we need to accomplish. So around that 13 age, you need to find out if that's what they love first. Because if they don't love it.
What determines they love it? Like what can you see? Like them verbalizing it is one thing, right? I hear kids say, I love basketball.
Man, no, they love now. They say everything now.
they love watching Steph Curry.
I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, what shows you that they love it?
Exactly.
You loved it at that time. Yeah.
So I felt like it was, honestly, it was when mom wasn't ready to leave the crib when the game was supposed to start, and I wanted to get to the gym at a certain time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, when we going? It was the first time I would like have my shoes by the door, the bag by the door. Like, again, love learning. Not the institution, but the school, it was like, you didn't see that from me in school, but when it came to basketball, oh man, like it was, that was the thing for me. And that's how I ended up, graduating early. It was like, if this is gonna get me on the court, I'll do whatever it takes to get me on the court, you know? So yeah, that's how I first felt that.
And so taking initiative to be ready and get out the door. Mm-hmm. And almost setting up your own, like nowadays, like set up your own training.
Hey, and
set up your own schedule.
When it becomes theirs, their ownership becomes theirs, not you. How many times a parent drags and starts to do all the talking, or you're in a session and they're answering questions and the kids not answer anything? They have to have ownership on it. Once it becomes their ownership, it shifts. It's totally theirs now. You know, what you think?
Me as the youngest sibling, I'm following coattails of Justice. So Justice is getting ready. He's setting the example. So I'm like, Justice is doing the same thing. Like, I'm waiting too. Like, what's the deal? Mm-hmm. And what changed for me was like Lily being in the gym with my brother, and it's like oh shoot, and he's like encouraging me. He's like, yo, like yeah, like you can do it. And I'm like, oh, if he's telling me I can do it, and my pops is telling me I can do it, that's when I fell in love with the game of like, oh, this is fun, but it's also like kind of proud of my own of stepping into something, being like, oh shoot, I can, you know, like. I can show my brother and my dad that I can, you know, I can do it. I can do it on my own and can hold my own. So for me as a youngest kid or youngest boy, fall in love with it being in my own puzzle because I'm in the shadow of my oldest brother playing football, Justice being his name, and then my dad. So just falling in love with falling into my own puzzle piece. That's when I knew I was like, okay, like I can make my name for myself.
So. Yeah.
I love that, the confidence they instilled in you, mm-hmm. from the support and encouragement. That's what I think is missing from some of these parents. They're so, they're always critiquing their kid and you need to do this better and all that, but they were talking about the work, you showing up and performing the, like you said, the process. Mm-hmm. That's what they were encouraging. And this generation focuses more on their performance, not the process. Mm-hmm. And so if we go in there and encourage that piece, I think more kids will fall in love with it and have that, oh man, I'm good at something. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can do this and build that confidence.
Cause I was gonna like even add to that, cause like don't get it twisted either. Like, this dude, okay, look, like how he coaches, kids in DC, how he coached kids in LA, how he coached kids in Atlanta, like consistent that I coached us. And the takeaway from it all is that, yo, like, he was definitely on us the entire time, mm-hmm. but it was the fact that we had that love there first. So without that, I think that's what could have caused so much, like, resentment or, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, want to, like, have certain family dynamics work out a certain way. Mm-hmm. But everything always comes back to love, you know? So the fact that that was in place first, like, that definitely helped. Because the path wasn't easy.
Love was in place.
Oh, love, man. Was in place. Yeah, like, that was concrete.
Well, you know, we had, there were so many people in and out of homes. You know, we saw so many people. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, I remember when Tom Izzo came and saw Chris Allen over at Meadow Creek and Justice with him, and Chris had like 40-some points, and he was like, you know, we got to get up in the morning at 6 and work out. Like, you know, they've been experienced and had an opportunity to see some of the best players and see some of the pros and see how they work and see if this is something they want to do. And, you know, I was blessed to be able to coach, you know, both of them and coach them his last year. And we had such a phenomenal team, man. But When you coach your kid, that's a special dynamic, because you talk about, are you biased, you know, are you giving favoritism, you know? And when my son was
don't exist here. Yeah. He's yours.
Talk about that. So what? Yeah, it's the opposite, right? Like, no.
That's a yoke sign. I'm not gonna say your last name, but now. Okay. Okay.
It's not for you necessarily, right? It's for all those fathers who assume that position as coach and father, right? That line can get very
blemished,
very blurred,
right?
Yeah, very blurred.
So what were the things that you placed as boundaries to make sure you were always dad, and then you were always coach in a way that made, you know, on the court, like you said, it may have been harder on them, but that's a boundary that you place. It's like, yeah, yo, I'm actually gonna be harder on you than I am these other kids.
True. So
what were your rules for that?
That's what it was. I was gonna be 10 times harder on them than I was anyone else.
For what?
Because
why did you do that?
The expectation in the home, the expectation of what I want them to understand, the expectation that, you know what, that people are going to look at you and automatically they're going to assume you're going to be like, you're going to have favoritism, and you're not. You know, listen, what was awesome about it was I was harder, but they named him captain. He was a leader on the team, and his work ethic spoke. Sometimes what you have is a kid who doesn't work hard, who just gets something and feels entitled. He didn't feel entitled because of the fact that he worked. Every day he worked, and those kids respect the fact that, you know what, Justice works every day. You know, Jalen works every day. And that's an important thing. You're going to coach your kid? Listen, I believe two things right now. I believe two things. Listen, here's my two things. I can't treat each kid equally because they're not equal. They're not equal. Each kid needs something different from me. I can treat them fairly, but not equally. So my thing was, I'm going to treat them fairly, but I'm not going to treat them equally because they all need different things from me. The biggest thing for me, man, that I'm going to pose is the fact that I knew they loved the game because it was too hard, and my expectation in the house was going to be high. They were, you know, one, they're my sons, and two, I'm coaching them. I want them to have a great experience with their guys. Now, when we got up to Montrose Christian School and I left Georgia, he was going to his senior year at Buford High School. I didn't tell him to come. I said, hey, Justice, you want to come with Dad? Up to you. He was going to stay in Georgia.
Hit him with the Coach Carter.
No, I didn't. Y'all was just different. You know, he was loving it because he had a great middle school team. They were just coming into the high school, so everybody expected them to win. Mm-hmm. He had a great high school team with great guys around him at Buford High School. Buford was a great place to this day. And I really didn't think they would come. I just got the job at Montrose Christian School in Maryland. And, you know, we had about 2-3 players at the time, you know. Then Alonzo Trier came, then Pat McCall came, and then Raymond Doby came, and Darrell Brantley came. And
to even Nate for a little bit.
We had Nate. Yep. You know, we had such a great, phenomenal crew. I mean, this crew worked. And I knew we had a great crew because all the parents were on board on the mission of what we were trying to accomplish. They understood, hey, this is a process. We're going to work hard and we're going to lay. And I think we figured out when we get to Finley Prep in Vegas, mm-hmm. the number one team in the country, and we beat them in Vegas at my, Bishop Gorman. And it just went viral and blew up.
So Alonzo left Finley? Didn't he go to Finley?
He left
for Finley. Mm-hmm.
He went for Finley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Alonzo was with me. We won. And then, he went there and went to Arizona. Pat was with me. Pat went to UNLV. Raymond went to University of South Carolina. He went to Virginia. Jarrell Brantley went to College of Charleston. And he was only a freshman. So it was awesome. Yeah. It was a great opportunity. But and then we had Nate for a little while before Nate left. Because mm-hmm. Nate was with us, too. They ended up going to Minnesota. Nate was with us. And, I mean, we had a phenomenal team. But, again, those parents were all on board. Those parents were like, the expectation. And then a lot of times you're walking, talking brochure or your kids. If you want to know a coach, look at the fruit of labor. How they talk to their kids in the past. The relationship they have with alumni.
Yes.
Those kids come back. Mm-hmm. And I can measure it by winning because we won a championship and everything else. I didn't measure it by it. I measured the success of that team and who they became when they left me.
Yeah, I will say that too. Like that's one thing that even being with TB at Virginia, it's like the things that you learn along the way that you guys teach and preach about until you experience life is like, oh, that's what he was talking about,
Right.
But no, like, cause I get it, cause there were times when it's still, like we would be in the gym all day,
all day,
every day.
Yeah, he's still feeling.
Because it's not a joke.
All day, but yeah, it's like okay, this has to accumulate to something, and
it works not being.
Yeah, so
there's something that you mentioned a couple times because I think that's why you have so many runners. When I say like kids who run away from accountability and coaching, because with your kids, you said I had an expectation inside my home, and I moved that to the basketball court. That is what I grew up in, right? My coaches were an extension of my home. Whatever I did at home or whatever I did on that court, better be the same
what's allowed translates.
At home, or else there was going to be consequences on both sides.
Exactly.
There was accountability all the way through, where nowadays, I don't talk to my kid like that. You're not going to. I don't, there's no accountability in the house. They don't have chores. They don't have responsibilities. They're allowed to cuss. They're allowed to listen to whatever music they want to and whatever content and kind of have these free lives at a very early age. And so when they come into a structured, disciplined environment and somebody, a coach, who's trying to hold you accountable and develop you, it doesn't match up. And so I feel like that's why people are running. They're running from that accountability. How important is that from a parental perspective, just holding your household to a certain level? And what advice would you give to parents who maybe they don't have the knowledge that you have, the wisdom that you have to do that, to perform that? Is like, how do I hold my kid accountable so they can be successful in whatever extracurricular activity they do, basketball being the one we're focusing on? But what would you say should be in place at a home if you could pick three or four things?
I think it's important to lay out the guidelines for both of them, because structure is important on both ends. And a lot of times, our parents are like, oh, he can handle it, but not necessarily, because if he's not handling it at home, he's not going to be able to handle it with me, And so a lot of times, they write checks they can't cash, and I think that the importance of everything is to be able to bring former parents back to talk to new parents on what they are going to encompass, like what they're about to become. Like, that's going to be important. But there's not a lot of parents on the same page as the coaches. They don't sit down and map out. They got to map out. Like, if I'm moving forward for me to coach, it has to be in line with what I'm talking and what you're talking. And knowing there's going to be some spots where you're going to have some bump in the road. So let me say, a turtle, right? A turtle is born in the sand. And when it breaks its egg, it has to crawl from the sand up the hill into the water. Right? The turtle does. It has to crawl up the sand into the water. You take that same turtle when they break the egg and you put it right into the ocean, it's going to die. It's going to die. Because the process is for it to crawl from that egg, from that shell, into that water. Because it's learned to use its legs. It's learned to survive. What we're doing now is eliminating it. We're taking away that process. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So think about that. Like, it's too much for the turtle. Oh, his legs, it's just too much. And we don't allow them to be able to, like, this process we're going through is preparing them for the destiny they're going to arrive to. Now, you take away the process and then they jump to the destiny, then that's what, now we're talking about failure. Now we're talking about, now they're in a place where they're not prepared, they don't have the tools. What coaches and parents do is put a tool belt around the kid that when they arrive to campus, they can use it when they need it. They have these tools around them because they're not going to be with you. And the biggest thing that I have to understand is I used to tell them all the time, don't let something bad happen before you appreciate something. You know, we're all in this room one call away from some dramatic situation happening to us or our family, and then everything changes. The question is, are they prepared for that? Because you never know what can happen in life.
Yo, isn't that crazy, though? Because you don't know when the last time you're going to pick up a basketball. Or any type of sport. And it's like that... I don't want to, like, you know, no, cut no, energy, but yeah, no, it's, yeah, no, it's, because I actually have a little bit of beef with that, too, as far as, no, for real, because, like, now that, like, seeing from the kids' lens and going through it is, like, you want it to be easier, you really do, you want it to be something that you don't have to get hit with so many new lessons and bumps and, you know, along the way, but the more you actually accumulate that kind of stuff and the more you actually start seeking it, you're, for one, more courageous. You're, you know, like, fearless. And think about just today's time, you need to be fearless. And, yeah, it's the fact we're all playing a sport with no actual timeline. Like, we're not, it's not like a goal where it's like, okay, yeah, by this date, that's when I actually go, I'm gonna hang it up. No one thinks like that. So the fact that the little beef that I have is not allowing coaches to be coaches. And sometimes, to be real, like, it's also sometimes like the coaches and having their own agendas, you know? But yeah, like, this whole thing is, at its core, is to prepare kids, you know, for what's out there, you know? It's prepare everybody to, you know, like, go through life with these tools that you're talking about. Right. And you think about that alone. Just that foundation, without the fact that there's now additional layers of social media and a brand and players now being a B2B partnership with a brand, and now they get money in their pocket, they get more money in their pocket at a younger age, and also being given the keys to certain cities, you know, to go, like, and it's like, yo, this is, if this is the recipe, then we've got to change something, because it's only going to be for so long that everybody can keep up
with
that.
But you hit it, though. You said for so long. So let's talk about that. Like, listen, man, the reason why we're here today and the reason why we're, that I'm good, you guys are not pros, you're not playing for the Lakers and the Clippers. Whenever you use your body for work, it's going to be a short term. Make sure you understand that. When you use your body for work, it's short term, because your body can't last that long. And what I try to illustrate to our kids and what I try to illustrate to people that play for me is that I don't care what you do. If you use your body, it's short term. In saying that, what are you going to do from 40 to 60? What are you going to do from 40 to 70? Because you're not going to use your body. So I need to make sure they understand, again, this is going to be, and these things that you're learning in basketball are going to help prepare what you're about to do in the future. You feel me? Like, you're where you are today because of the things and the people you've equipped and that turn around. Because I used to tell my kids, don't chase money, chase relationships. Don't chase money, chase relationships, because relationships are important. Remember, I like, don't chase money, chase relationships. Relationships will open doors, right?
Yeah.
Jalen, question for you, because you're the most currently removed from basketball, right? Just getting done in 2022. Mm. Was it hard to, so your dad coached you most of your high school career?
What, 2 years?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah, 2 years. Okay, so in that transition, even to college, how more prepared were you for the next coach? Was it like, oh man, that standard was so high that this is almost easy?
Very, because just like, you know, how you talked about it before, he set the standard in the household. So I don't think people understand is when he's your father and he's your coach, there is no escape. There isn't one. No, yeah. but seriously, like, there isn't one. So like on the floor, if you're not getting it done, he's obviously gonna see it at home. So he's going to be like, yo, at home you don't do this, on the court you don't do this. It's literally intertwined. So you can't, there are times where I would be like, yo, no, like, I can do it, or like, I'm sure I didn't make my bed, and he's like, nah, I'm not gonna do that on the floor. But but it shows. And it's like those little things will show in everything you do. If like on the floor you're not doing, you're not, you know, we would have players that would get right to the line of the suicide and then go right down. And it's like that little thing shows, it's like, okay, you'll do the homework, but you won't do all of it. You'll do enough to where it's like, I'll get a 90, I'll get a B. And it shows with that little thing. And so after I left him, I went to a public school. That coach was, again, nothing like my father. He was like, this is sweet. And I got to the JUCO, military JUCO. And it was hard, but it's different when literally like you're being critiqued from your father of almost everything. It's like, well, this is kind of sweet. Like this dude's yelling at me, but it's like, this dude don't care about me for real. He's trying to get get wins. It's like my dad cares. So it's a different element of like structure that was given. So I was very prepared when I got to that military school. I was like, all I got to do is just not mouth off, work hard, and literally do my homework. Well, that's it. Like, you're not gonna tell me, come follow me to my room and be like, yo, like, that's it? Like, cool. It's like, oh, cool, cool. And then I got to the military school and we had to make our bed. And it's, again, in the household, all prepared.
With that, and so was there any rebellion?
Oh God!
100%.
1,000%.
And what was like? And I'm talking about specifically the teenage years.
Oh, yeah.
What was that rebellion, and why? I want to hear from the players.
Mm. You want to go? You want me to go first?
Nah, you got it.
I would say since I'm the youngest, I'll admit, I was probably the most. There definitely was rebellion because it was, again, it was frustrating because it's like, dang, like I don't have. It was like, you know, like I said, it was like being critiqued on everything. Like it was a microscope on everything. Because, you know, he's in the building at school. You know, he's on the floor. He's in the car. He's at the house. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Everywhere you look. Everywhere.
Let me just leave. You know what I mean? Y'all getting flashbacks up in here? Like, can I go get some coffee up in here? Like,
you act up. You want to see Principal Bartley?
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
You know what I mean? You got it. So,
yeah, this is the principal.
He was the principal, the coach.
There's a movie about this, man.
The bus driver.
No, van driver. The
janitor. He was athletic director. He was,
yeah.
But
yeah.
He, a man of many hats, but. Yeah, so that rebellion just came from, it was like, man, like everything you do felt like, you know what I mean, you were under a microscope.
So what did your rebellion look like, though? How was it acted out, if you don't mind sharing?
My rebellion came from, like, really, what was it? It was definitely, it was
practice.
Oh, it was, oh, yeah, yeah.
Practice.
There were times, there were times where it's like, practice. I'm not practicing today. I don't feel like practice because I'm like.
Sneak with his mom, go home.
Right to the house.
You know, like, you know.
Right to that. Because at that time, like, all due respect, at that time, like, I'm a freshman and I'm keeping up with, you know what I mean? These are, you know, all dudes are going to Division I. And they're looking at me like, yo, like, he can keep up. Like, he's, you know, he's smooth. And so I'm like, I can take the practice off. Like, I'm
talking about practice.
Yeah, you talking about practice. I'm like, you put me out there. Like, I miss a
game. He's super athletic, so he can shortcut. He felt like he could shortcut. Like his athleticism could overcompass all these other things. And I know. And because Justice is a hard drill, just gonna work. Jane is going to
come out the car.
and want to do. You know, he wants
no stretching.
You know, and so he wanted to do that shortcut thing, and then his mom was like, "Where is he? Oh, he's with me." Like, what the whoa?
You know? Nah, I mean, like, to your credit, to his credit though, it's like imagine watching film all the time, like all the time.
Oh yeah, facts.
Like, cause you have you in the grocery store. I'm just trying to get some eggs, you know?
Talking about running a play.
Dang, is that
bad? No. A pass play of, so what you think? Yeah, we came down and we ran fist. We should have ran Tennessee, right? I'm trying to figure out what cereal I'm trying to get. This has nothing to do with Frosted Flakes. What is going on?
We're going to cut this right here.
Where is this going?
Where is this going?
Right here.
Yeah.
Where? where'd the conversation go? Where'd the conversation go?
This is the crazy thing because is what our youth deal with. The difference is, like, you're a professional coach. You actually do this.
Right.
And so the advice and the things that you're giving them is actually relevant to their development on and off the court, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So there is a safe space with that. Mm-hmm. These parents running businesses or accountants or lawyers trying to give that same advice, and the expertise isn't there.
That's true.
And so that's what we're like, even them knowing that, yo, you know what you're doing when it comes to this hoop thing. Look at how they were impacted by it. Mm-hmm. How much more from somebody who doesn't even have the expertise in this space?
Well, you got to also look at it. They've been in Auburn. We're in the SEC. They're watching games. We're playing Florida. Florida wants 2 national championships. What's my man? Joakim Noah comes in and embraces me because Joakim Noah comes in and embraces me because I know him in high school. Or we're playing Kentucky. They won one.
Oh, yeah.
And DeMarcus. So they're experienced things because I remember Justice being in 8th grade coming on the court to be part of the scout team. You know, just running around scout team. So they get a chance to see where they want to go. They get a chance to see the finish line. Not the finish line, but hey, this is what it looks like if we get to this stage. And then also being the ESPN game with Randolph Morris against Dwight Howard, they get to experience things at a young age to see what it is. Sports is the only thing where parents will come in and try to dictate what a coach can do based on what they think. Yeah. Imagine me going to their job telling them, hey, I don't think you're doing that the right way.
Think the other thing is, like, they're trying to push their kids towards something where they don't even know what that even looks like, to that type of degree. I've heard so many different stories nowadays of, just college coaches, and having to also, talk to the parents and that whole scene. It's a lot of that, just not really knowing what it takes or what's required. And you do have some parents that do. Like, there's some high quality parents out there that definitely get it. But I'm sure, like, that's like another layer to it.
And it's rampant, right? Everybody thinks they're an expert because you got access to YouTube, you got access to coaching training, you got access to all these things instead of actually, like, but this isn't what you do. Mm-hmm. And I there's 2 points I'm making out of this. 1, I need parents to get more information about what that's like. And 2, trust the coach that you're with, right? I think that's a big part of it too, is that if you don't trust the coach wherever you're sending your kid, don't send them there.
Exactly.
That way you can let go and let them be an extension of the home and the things you're trying to teach them, and trust that person trying to get them to that next level. But also, 2, being a parent where, and I know what you were doing, it's not a knock on your parents off because they both turned out great and they know the lessons that they learned and what you were trying to do. Mm. But the act of rebellion, which every teenager does,
right?
Come
back to mine,
too. The act of rebellion and what they remember about it, right? Mm. You see what they remember.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you were trying to do in that moment, they was just like, man, dad is on me for everything. Mm. And that same process you were talking about with the turtle, are you allowing that to happen as their own parent? Are they actually, working through that moment of, oh man, you know what? I could have went harder, or we could have ran a different play. Giving them that moment of space for themselves and not policing every area of their life, as long as they're safe, right? My thing is, like, my daughter does some crazy stuff. She's doing gymnastics and she thinks she is Simone Biles flipping all over my house. And sometimes I'm like, yo, not that. Like, why is the chair by the gymnastics bar? What are you doing? Like, but everything else she can do when it becomes dangerous, right? When it becomes safety to emotional, mental, spiritual, or physical, yes, I'm gonna hop in. But allowing that space, even if we are the expert, right? Mm-hmm. Even if we are, our heart's in the right place and that love is there, knowing that same kind of love that God has for us, like, go ahead.
It's funny you say that, Todd, because I tell you what interjects that makes that even more than anything else is the simple fact that our religious and our Christian base home. You know what I'm saying? That gives us a total balance as well. You know, Sundays, getting up and this wasn't a Sunday thing. It was a thing on how we were going to move as a family. I thought that was important, and we had family meetings too. Family meetings talking about directions and everything else. And then I think the second layer before you go into what you're is, they had some great, 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 we have to call them family.
Yeah.
You know, from Antonio to Kenny Anderson, Kenny Smith,
You know, they had some great
inner circle.
The circle was important, and that's the trust that parents have to have. They got to create a circle because they can't take them but so far. So you got to implement some people around it that you're going to say, okay, here's this circle. I'm going to put some people around it that's going to help guide them.
Yeah.
Because it ain't going to be always your voice. You know, it's got to be somebody else in there. And so we've had like Tony Randall. We had some people that were surrounded by them that gave them some really good advice. You know, Mr. Miller, Mark Miller was just with Chick-fil-A. Like we were around people that had nothing to do with basketball, just business owners.
Yeah.
And so I thought it gave them a great balance. But you can talk about, you know,
your right before JB starts. Yeah. I will say that one thing for us, whenever we were either dropped off or sent somewhere, I don't think my dad, you know, said it at all. But also when you're trusting a coach with your kid, they made sure that they had a conversation with coach beforehand. They were like, I'm giving you Jalen and Justice, Deshaun. I expect that same kid, if not better, back. I don't expect a worse kid coming home. And when they felt like that was in jeopardy, that's when they would step in and be like, okay, mm-hmm. he's not himself when he's here. So something is wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what kind of felt, because it felt different when it was like, okay, my parents are, you know, college is college. You can be yourself. But it also felt a little, you know, for me, it felt a little confidence of being like, okay, like my parents, you know, they let coach know, like, certain things aren't gonna fly of who you are trying to mold me into, and let the coach know that, like, hey, there's certain things I can't do with this kid. Because
yeah, because it was like three things. You know, first thing I was like, listen, if you I want three things from you. One, if my son is doing something that you know that's not respectful, that you know that's not a home, I need you to make sure he understands that immediately. Hmm. Two, hey, listen, if he's with the wrong group of guys, you know what, and you know where we are, and you know, make sure you tap and remind him. And three, all I need, you don't do this a lot, but if he's deflated, just put your arms around him and tell me you're going to be okay. That's only three things. The plane going to take care of himself. I don't get into the playing. I don't get into that.
No.
I used to be like, when he didn't play, I was like, you ain't sit long.
Say
enough.
Something.
Yeah.
Tell him.
You know, like I was like, yo, if you sit long enough,
man,
you're going to have desire to want to play. You ain't sitting long enough, man. You need to sit some more. I mean, I ain't talking to no coach.
Go ahead, yeah, go talk about your.
Yo, nah.
Talk your stuff, Justice.
Yo,
talk
your stuff.
Now it's Justice's turn.
Yeah, because.
Rebellion and the. All
that. Because, like, that honestly was, like, part of the rebellion. I felt like I had all the answers. It felt like, and just to keep it a whole buck, it was like, I'm going to have to figure all this out by myself. I need to, like, figure this thing out by myself, because I was looking to the left and the right a little bit, and I kept seeing how some of my friends, they had their dads who don't, if we want to talk about clout, don't even have the type of clout that my dad has. And, you know, they're being mentioned, you know, like, at one point it was like, they're being mentioned on Twitter, you know, and talked about online. And next thing you know, they got a bite. Now they got that one scholarship turned into another one and all this other stuff. And then I had my own inner battles that I was dealing with my epilepsy. And so I just had, like, all these, like, you know, very intense emotions and thoughts within myself. And I'm really glad you actually touched on the space, because it felt like, it was like, dang, dog, like, I'm epileptic too, man.
Like, you can only do so.
Yo, what? I'm trying my, yo, I'm doing
you
it.
Gotta, you gotta damn near pass out. I don't.
Nah.
To be like, hey,
no,
let's not get there.
It wasn't like that, but it was like, man, like, can I get a break?
Yeah.
And, or at least, like, can I get, like, is there, like, where's the reward? Like, where's the thing? Mm. And I think, like, that's when, yeah, it was like, I just wanted to figure this whole thing out by myself and wanted to, like, just do all this stuff. But what ended up happening was I ended up running into more problems, you know? And I remember that time, like, I was just in a bad spot at school. It was like, yo, all I kept seeing was the emails coming in, like, yo, you gotta pay for school, you know, like, I don't know if the aid's gonna cover the cost, we don't know if you're gonna make it, whatever. But I remember coming home that year and and really having a deep conversation with my dad. And ultimately what we ended up like talking about was like, yo, I don't think I've ever put all my eggs in one basket. I don't think I've ever just went all out and with basketball, with my dream, with whatever it is that I have. And I don't know what's gonna happen, but.
Junior year?
That was going into the junior year.
Cause I remember you were crazy.
So cause that was the year that I ended up graduating early. And the thing that revealed itself was that's when I had the best year I've had academically. I was playing my best basketball. I was, talking, giving speeches about different things and in the community. I don't know how time just bit like that, but that moment was, what came of that. But it definitely felt like I wanted so much of that pat on the back, along the way. And mind you, it's also like, sure off the boat, first generation American. But that's the reality of a lot of these kids too, like over time, we love our dad over time, definitely got used to, the hug and all that. But it's because our grandfather never did that with him, but it was like I really wanted to feel, like everything that I was actually achieving was actually working towards something. And the best part about looking back on that, even just talking about it now, is that's where faith comes in. It's like who are you actually doing all this stuff for? What are you doing it for? So I think that, at the foundation.
Well, that's what God talks about. And he says, am I part or am I the center? And that's why sometimes our blessings, we get part of it, because we're only a part of it. But if I'm the center of it, I'm getting all of it. And what we have a tendency to do, man, is to forget. And this is why I'm the way I am, is because of the simple fact that people don't understand the process of it. Like I tell the kids, I got an orange tree right by my place, right? When I come out my driveway. And that tree, who's been grounded into the ground, it builds a foundation. Now, a seed grows in two directions at the same time. It grows into the earth and out. And all this stuff that you're doing down here, sometimes you don't see it until it breaks the ground, right? But the amazing part is when that tree is, when it's done and it's fully developed, think about the trees you passed that have been through every earthquake and storm in the state of California. That tree has been there because its foundation is embedded. It's strong. And what I try to teach kids is to have a strong foundation, be able to have something that you know that's grounded, that's going to keep you, because a storm's going to come. A storm definitely is going to come. It's going to come in many different ways. Everybody thinks it's basketball. This is life. These things are life, man. I keep telling them, man, this is life. Life is 10% of what happened to you, 90% of how you react. And, I didn't give every single thing. I'm not the greatest parent ever. I got my own issues and my own problems, 100%. But do I love kids? Do I love to coach? Do I have passion to do? Yes. And that's the problem with kids. Kids don't understand they don't know if they're the faucet or the drain. Are you the faucet or the drain? You in my program, are you the faucet or are you the drain? And they're like, what? Yeah, the faucet. You know what comes out the faucet? And what does the drain do? Because you're either one of two things. And they have to realize that. And what parents are doing, they're creating that situation for them. Because 10 years from now, where are they going to be?
Because what's the difference from the faucet and the drain? I'm sorry.
The fact that you pour water in or you're sucking water out.
Oh.
One of two things. Are you pouring in or are you sucking out? You could be sucking out. You could be the drain and suck everything out. But are you the faucet?
Using that one, though.
That was eyeballing. I was like,
That's why I was going to let go. It was three times in a row.
This process of what we're doing and what you do, because you do an unbelievable job, Todd, is the simple fact that you see it and you're creating a stage for kids to perform well and do what they love to do. The question that we have all entitled is that, do you love what you do? Do you love and do you appreciate where you are today? Do you appreciate being here? These kids are getting paid. They got better opportunities than we have. They got more social media than we have. They get to be seen more than we have. But besides the point, there's a young man, young woman, who are your age, who's a middle schooler, who just got a bumped in their arm or wrist and found out they may have cancer. Right? How hard would they go if they traded places with you? What would it be like for them to trade places with you? That's why I used to say to them, don't let nothing bad happen before you start to appreciate what you have.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, I'm like this, you know, listen, you can throw the ball against the backboard. You can make bad passes. You can dribble the ball out of bounds, but you always can control your effort.
Yeah.
Your effort you can control. And I think the problem I have now is the simple fact that parents say, yeah, my kids, he want to go hard. And then as soon as you get hard, there's some pushback. It's pretentious, everyone go hard. Well, you don't really know what hard is. Every kid in the country think they practice hard. Everybody does. But they don't really know what hard is. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is this. This is the thing that I try to teach most kids. When you go to college, I used to be a college coach, when you get to college and you're a freshman and you come from a great high school, that January, you go from a freshman to a sophomore. But if you come from a bad school, that whole year, you're a freshman trying to learn. So I always think of myself of, all right, how do I help them transition to be able to get on that court and do the things they need to do to love the best? And it takes work. Like, I want you to think about this. If practice is the hardest thing, the game is easy. If practice is hard, the game is easy.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
The example I want to use, Jace Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the second half of his...
He's a sophomore.
Freshman year,
yeah.
You see the experience that a sophomore would have.
And exactly.
That's he's in the draft now.
Right.
So he's in the first round now because of that jump. And so, because you said it, and I think us basketball people understand it,
right.
But for the, like I said, you know, our audience is parents who may not understand basketball, that experience and development and the discipline that you have in developing, you should take that jump mentally and physically and emotionally by January of that year.
Right.
It should happen in high school.
Right.
You should become a sophomore
exactly.
in January, you know, all
right.
those things. And so that comes from accountability, coaching, the discipline, and that
true.
Side.
True.
Really quick, I'm gonna wrap up here. We got about 10 minutes. Excuse me. So question for you guys, and then a question for you. What's the best piece of advice your dad has ever given you?
Eat the fish, sprout the bone.
What has that meant to you?
Take what, you know, whether it be information. Oh, man, especially now with all these players hearing so much. But take the information that's useful for you. Consume it. That's great. But everything else, spit it out. Whether it comes to you the right way, you know, like if it's not, if you don't like the tone of it or whatever, like that's the part you know, spit out. But the actual message in it, like that's what you absorb.
I would have to say the no pressure, no diamonds, because but again, like you said, like without anything, without any of the pressure that you may have or find and seek, there wouldn't be any sort of like mineral that would be processed. So within yourself, there is going to be a journey. There's going to be a process. There's going to be tribulations, and if you can seek that out, and basically, you know, go like. You know, live throughout it, you'll find yourself being a diamond, you'll find yourself being a gem in your own light. And so.
And then the question for you, Brian, is what have your boys taught you?
No, seriously, but don't you know? No, honestly, what I learned, even what I learned in this is the space of love.
I know, I taught patience.
No, I'm not just say you got jokes, man. Not
so
just
I was a handful.
See, that's part of it. That's
see,
why
and this is what happens,
you're
yo. And
it. Comedian, though, man. That's what.
That's why I said patience. That's why I said patience.
Somebody
I know.
To act.
I taught him patience because I was just like,
yeah, you
why are you mad?
Why are you mad? Because everything was. But I'm
so love.
Yeah, just like to love them through the process, love them through pain, love them through being there. And I remember Mr. Konchalski, who passed away, said something. He was like. He said about, like, play your kid and love them hard. And I think I got to love them through the process. Love them through it. Like, just let them know, I love you. Things are going to get better. Just love them through the process. And because I didn't have that kind of upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the hugs. And Ayana, my daughter, did a great job because she just loved to be beneath me and loved to hug. And I knew God gave me the right fit and the right kids for me to become a better dad and become a better man. So that was good for me.
I think it's important just to touch on it since, because it's been mentioned a couple of times, just that legacy piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the way you were raised isn't necessarily the way that you raised your kids.
Right.
You took some of those attributes, but then you had to you know, I guess develop into the father that God called you to be, to raise, you know, I call kids flowers, like God planted them here. It's your job to prune them and to grow them and to water them into what they're supposed to be. And so how hard was that to kind of change what you weren't used to as a parent? And what can you do for the parents out there who struggle to do it?
It was tough because I didn't have the tools. But what made it even better is me seeking the tools, trying to seek help and trying to learn from others. I think the gravitate, the fact that, you know what, I knew what my, you know, what was my dash gonna be? You know, this is the day I'm born, this is the day I'm a passing, and when people look back, what's my dash? And I wanted to say to my kids, my name when I leave this earth is gonna either open doors for you or close doors for you. And so I needed to walk and model a way that they can represent respect and say my dad was worth something. Like he did some things that would open some doors for us. And I always talked to him about legacy, leaving a legacy, because my parents came from, you know, my father's Jamaican, my mother's Panamanian, so they come into this country. What does it mean for us to be here? What does it mean for us to be this family? And that's what the thing that I'm so proud about is my kids are just unbelievable. Honestly, I got amazing kids, every last one of them. They're amazing in their own way. And the thing about it is the fact that parents who don't know need to seek and ask opportunities to learn. And then also gravitate to people who have been successful and how that they can put something around them. Because when Justice wanted to do something, I said, hey man, you gotta get some mentors. You gotta put some people around them. And the mentors don't all need to be sports. Yeah. They need some other people. Because they're gonna be people pouring into my son that I don't know nothing about. But I'm gonna put them and surround them about. And this is why it's important that, you know, when you plant a seed in the ground, you know it's gotta have some light and it's gotta have water. You can't plant a seed up in the concrete or in the desert and think that it's gonna grow. So I needed to put them in places that sunlight can hit it and rain can hit it so that they can grow. And that's what I learned to do the most.
Awesome, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. I know there's so much more to get into, but I think there is a lot that people can draw from this well and, you know, parched their thirst for knowledge. So thank you for being transparent and open and sharing all that. We posting the whole show, Brian, just so you know.
There we go.
And so I thank you guys. I'm going to do a final thought.
My final thought on today, our goal and job with this show is just to give you viewpoints from parents of athletes, especially in the basketball space, who have had success and maybe have had failure. And so for this first sequence, this first show, I think what you can really draw from this is having a plan, right? And being able to adjust that plan according to who your kid is for what they're really passionate about. All of us in this space, we want our kid to go to the NBA, get to the highest level, but sometimes that's not their calling. But what you can do is give them the tool belt, like we spoke about in the show, to make sure they can navigate life so they can be successful after that ball stops bouncing, because it's going to stop bouncing. So make sure that your mindset is correct. Make sure that you guys are on the same page with the people in your circle and the people you're entrusting your kid with, so you can build that foundation to grow that orange tree that other people could get oranges from at the end of the day. All right, so we thank you for your time, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace.